All right, it's great to see everybody here today. Thanks for joining us at the Peace Bridge, where last year over 2.7 million vehicles crossed the border. Over 20 million incoming vehicles from Canada last year crossed the northern border. And bridges in Buffalo and Niagara Falls accounted for 58% of those 20 million bridge crossings. So when the CDC implemented new rules for people traveling across the border with dogs, the impact was immediate. Of this huge volume of traffic across our border, many people are traveling with family pets, assistance dogs, military dogs, show dogs, and dogs that are soon to be adopted. In our community, hardworking people travel with their loved ones and pets to Canada to enjoy a much-deserved break at summer cottages and to visit our neighbors to the north. Many great sights and attractions. Others in our region are people traveling with pets and are dual citizens visiting family or crossing the border to work. More still are people in commercial vehicles traveling to and from Canada. Yes, many without dogs, who are impacted by this overly burdensome rule, who rely on border agents to efficiently process travelers while keeping our borders safe. No matter what reason people have for crossing the border, for work or for leisure, it did not require jumping through hoops until recently, when in April, the CDC announced it would require dogs to have a USDA-endorsed rabies vaccine, be at least 6 months old, have an ISO-compatible microchip, and a CDC dog import form for each crossing in order for people to return to the U.S. with their dogs. Now, we all live busy lives, with trips to Canada being as ordinary and frequent as they are in Buffalo and Niagara Falls. Filling out paperwork for each dog's crossing would cut into people's precious time. For some, it would also require finding a new USDA-approved veterinarian, which any dog owner knows, including myself, is no easy task, developing trust with a vet. It would also needlessly impose on people with young puppies, arbitrarily prohibiting dogs younger than 6 months old from entering the U.S. from Canada, even those with the microchip that the CDC says that they should have, which can be implemented at 4 months. Finally, and most callously, for those who did not follow these guidelines to the letter, it would separate dogs from their owners at the border. In the end, the CDC's attempt to safeguard our country against rabies has created red tape and headaches for border communities like ours. The U.S. and Canada have both eradicated dog rabies and pose no public health threat to each other's populations. On top of this, the CDC put forward a new rule without incorporating public feedback and did not take the necessary steps to ensure that the rule would not negatively impact our ports of entry, like the Peace Bridge, the one that we're at here today. There was a total lack of communication and coordination with U.S. Customs and Border Protection to ensure this addressed a real need and would not negatively interfere with the import work of our border protection agents. As a member of the House Committee on Homeland Security, I'm working to ensure that our agents at the border have the resources that they need to keep our borders safe and not to have to expend resources on implementing a bureaucratic boondoggle that, unfortunately, these guidelines presented. Fortunately, the CDC rolled back some requirements at the urging of myself and my colleagues in Congress. Now, the new rule mandates that dogs be at least 6 months old, have that microchip, and have a CDC dog import form that is valid for 6 months. But the requirements still place the burden on dog owners to address a non-existent threat. That's why I introduced the Border Crossing and Reentry Act for canines that will indefinitely pause the CDC's new rule, saving dog owners who are traveling across the border time and money. This bill would eliminate the burden for travelers from low-risk countries like Canada, but it will also speed up border access for those that don't have dogs and pets. This will remove requirements for travelers to present a rabies vaccination documentation, eliminating the CDC dog import form, allowing dogs younger than 6 months to cross the border, continuing to safeguard against the spread of rabies by implementing new rules for countries where these new rules should be. In the high-risk countries like Russia and Iran and Egypt and others that have a high risk of rabies, So in the high-risk countries like China, Egypt, Iran, Russia, these are regulations where they should be implemented. But in no-risk to low-risk countries like Canada, that according to the Canadian Consul General, there is a 0% rabies within the pet population in Canada, we should not have this burden that will create wait times at the border on top of the wait times that already exist, that will create problems for those with pets and those that are traveling without pets to cross the border. It is burdensome, it is not necessary, and the bill that I've put forward will eradicate this needless regulation at the Canadian-US border. It'll also keep processing times down at the border to keep people and commerce moving. Just yesterday at 4 p.m., wait times for passengers to enter the U.S. at the Peace Bridge was nearly 45 minutes. This adds up to costing big for our region. Putting things into perspective, a study by the Atlantic Council shows that a 10-minute reduction in wait times at the southern border would generate over $300 million in more commerce in the U.S. economy. American and Canadian trucking services and airline industries would face significant challenges with the implementation of the regulations as they exist. Last year, over 892,000 tractor-trailer trucks crossed the border from Canada, which represents a critical trade for one of our strongest allies and helps drive economic growth within our region. Truck drivers stand to face dual impacts, as the Canadian Trucking Alliance has noted a 20 to 25% of their drivers travel with their pets for companionship and security. And finally, ensuring that we maintain friendly relations with Canada that our region prides itself on also helps facilitate both our tourism industries, creating and sustaining good-paying jobs. In fact, as I mentioned already, we heard directly from the leadership of the Canadian government, as well as constituents in the western part of New York State and all across the northern border, that these regulations went too far, they were overly burdensome, they weren't communicated properly, and the bill that I put forward that I hope to pass through Congress this session will roll those regulations back and allow for the free flow of commerce and trade and people and vehicles once again that are traveling with and without their pet companions. And while maintaining that relationship with Canada and the commerce across the border is of utmost importance, this is all about taking care of families on both sides of the border as well. And many people know how important this is to our communities and families. Few know it as well as Tom Eigel, who joins us here today, the obedience judge with the American Kennel Club and a trainer and member with the Western Lakes Training Club. I'm going to turn it over to Tom to share more about the negative impact of the new regulations and the importance of this legislation and what it would do by creating a permanent pause at the U.S.-Canadian border. We're also joined here by Lager. Now, Lager's here with his name to remind us that it's Friday and get out and enjoy happy hour later today. Sure. Right, Tom?
I got it.
All right.
Come here, Lager. All right. All right, so good boy, you stay. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank Representative Kennedy, not only for listening to the concerns of the pet owners in Western New York, but also for taking action. So thank you, Representative Kennedy, much appreciated. As an avid pet owner, as an AKC judge, as a member of Western Lakes Training Club, I show and train dogs. Over the years, we have routinely traveled back and forth to Canada to train and to show dogs. At Western Lakes Training Club, which is on Military in Kenmore, right, we have lots of students who also travel to Canada, show, train their dogs. We also have Canadian members who actually come across the border 3 or 4 times a week to work and train their dogs at our club in Kenmore, right? So under this new law, that routine travel becomes burdensome, right? And we all know that a well-trained dog is a good neighbor. And look around, draw a circle around Buffalo. Half of the set circle around Buffalo is in Canada. The part of the law, one part of the law is particularly troublesome, the part about importing puppies under the age of 6 months. Now, we have personally, my family purchased pets in Canada and imported them. Lager here is a Canadian. We got Lager 5 years ago in Canada, brought him into the country when he was 6 weeks old. If that rule was in place today, Lager wouldn't be here with us today, and he wouldn't be happy. There, lots. You know, also, as I said, we have members and friends who routinely buy and import dogs from Canada, right? And when you're training dogs, when you're training dogs, whether it be for just for around the house or for sports or for confirmation, building that bond with your puppy, you know, when they're really young is really important to laying that foundation down. So under this new rule, buying and importing a puppy from Canada for training purposes is no longer an option. People will not buy and import puppies from Canada. Another thing that's critically important to pet owners is veterinary care. Myself personally, again, have had multiple occasions to take dogs to the veterinary hospital in Guelph for critical care. Guelph is the Canadian equivalent of Cornell. And the good thing about it is it's much closer than Cornell. So when you have a critical care need for a dog, you don't want to worry about filling out paperwork, because by the time you get that paperwork filled out, something could happen to your animal, right? So, you know, today all you have to do is put your dog in your car, get your rabies certificate, and off you go. Finally, I just like want to reiterate that while this is a well-intended law, it's overly burdensome and not well thought out for low-risk countries and especially Canada. And again, I'd like to thank Representative Kennedy for addressing these concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lager. I think we can all agree Lager is a good dog. Any questions? Look, I think the CDC was well-intentioned, but when they did not communicate the regulations to the U.S. Border Patrol and the agents that are protecting our border and give them the regulations the way that they needed to be implemented, as well as communicating what exactly their interpretation was of these regulations to dog owners, and did not take into consideration the wait times at the border today, which oftentimes are burdensome to begin with. I think they missed the mark, and because of the outcry from communities like ours and because of the work of myself and others in Congress to call on the CDC to roll back those regulations, to their credit, they followed suit, but it didn't go far enough. And when the Canadian government and pet owners and non-pet owners alike that cross the border regularly from the US into Canada are saying that wait times will increase, that the regulations haven't been communicated properly, that there's confusion, all of that adds up to people that are going to make determinations not to cross the border, which is bad for commerce in Western New York, in Buffalo, in Niagara Falls, as well as in Canada. We want to create commerce across the border as seamless and efficiently as possible. And when you have millions of vehicles that are crossing the border right here in Western New York every single year, including over 2.5 million here at the Peace Bridge last year alone, we have to create an efficiency that and dependability that people rely upon, and it'll only impact commerce on a positive level if people understand what those regulations are. They were not interpreted to the traveling public, and certainly were not communicated to those that are protecting our border effectively. So with that confusion creates greater wait times and the potential for bad things to happen. We want to free up our border agents to do the job of protecting our border, not to be sifting through paperwork that's burdensome to find out if a country that has a 0% rabies population in their dogs actually have the paperwork to come into our country. It's just nonsensical, and that's why the bill that I've put forward in Congress will roll back the regulations at the U.S.-Canadian border because of the low risk that the Canadian pet population presents to our country. Yeah. What the CDC did is they rolled back a portion of the regulations that they had originally put forward. That is because our call that they were too burdensome. But what our argument is that the regulations that still are on the books from the CDC continue to be a burden for dog owners and those that wish to be dog owners and the traveling public alike. There's confusion. There is an expectation that dogs be microchipped, which can happen at 4 months, but that the regulations also say that dogs can't cross the border until 6 months. And then there's a regulation of having an import form that has to be done online that lasts up to 6 months. But instead of a piece of paper that has to go across the border every single time one crosses the border. So the regulations have been rolled back some, but what we're saying is that what the CDC put forward in low-risk countries like Canada to come into our country is overburdensome and, quite frankly, a solution in search of a problem that doesn't exist. And so we agree with the CDC that in countries like China and Iran and Egypt and Belarus, and others that have a high risk of rabies, that regulations like this should exist. But when you're crossing the border from Canada, where there is zero to low risk, that burden should not be in place. It's counterproductive to our economy, and that's why this legislation is so important to indefinitely pause the rules that the CDC put in place at the U.S.-Canadian border.
And the new regulations went into August 1st.
That's correct, yep.
I don't hear any county again
here
about.
Well, according to the Consul General of Canada, there is a 0% rabies population within the pet population in Canada, which means that they are zero to low risk when those dogs are crossing the border. And why would we burden those with pets and non-pets alike to cross the Peace Bridge, to cross the Whirlpool Bridge, to cross the Queenston-Lewiston Bridge, to cross the bridges here in Western New York that account for over 50% of the 20 million crossings across the U.S.-Canadian border every single year, and stifle the efficiency of the border by creating this bureaucratic paperwork. It just doesn't make sense. That's why the law that I am putting forward will indefinitely pause these regulations that make no sense at the U.S.-Canadian border. They may make sense elsewhere. They don't make sense at the U.S.-Canadian border. And quite frankly, they're counterproductive to our economy here in Western New York. It's specific to low-risk countries to which Canada is. Anything else? Do you want to speak on that?
What's that?
What happens to the president?
The CDC has a holding place where they keep them, right? Yeah, I believe the CDC has a holding place where they keep the pets, right? And then you have to go through the process, the paperwork to be able to get your dog back, and you know that could take days, right? So, not a good situation. No, I mean I haven't traveled to Canada since August 1st, and before all you needed was your rabies certificate, so it was a non-event, right? You know, if as long as you had your rabies certificate, you could go back and forth anytime, non-event. Yeah, I mean, you take your dog to the state park, you need your rabies certificate, right? So most dog owners keep a rabies certificate in their glove compartments for their dogs because, you know, you're supposed to, like I said, state parks, travel across the border, you need one. So going to Canada was no different than going to a state park.
And this, like what's going on, it sounds like it's more difficult than a regular passport.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you got your passport, you just show it, right? You don't have to fill out paperwork periodically, right? And, you know, and again, the particularly troublesome one that's left is the puppies under 6 months, right? Because, you know, people don't want a puppy that's 6 months old, right? You get your puppy at 6 weeks, you're spending, just, you know, it's not like a child, but it is like a child, right? You get your baby and you build that bond as soon as they're there. When you get the younger you get the puppy, the better that bond and, you know, the better trained pet you'll have, right? And like I said, the better trained pet, it's a good neighbor, right? And that's what you want, right? You want good neighbors and good trained dogs.